You can see in your bulletins that we have scripture passages and a little reflection in there. And I want to thank actually a couple different church members who sent me some of these passages during this last week. And I'm going to be talking about some of them as they come up during our talk this morning. I have them there for you, so feel free to read them. Feel free to read them as I speak. I actually hope that you do. As you do, you will no doubt be coming up with your own thoughts and reflections as well. If you've even begun to take a look at some of these, which maybe you have, you can already tell from a cursory look that it's a very light message this morning. Because it is. Because it's about love. It's very light. And as they say, right, who doesn't love to be in love? Who doesn't love to be with love? It's wonderful. And what also is wonderful is that everyone here is a loving person, is an incredibly loving person. And I mean, I assume that, I know that, but I will ask, you know, there's anybody who's not a loving person, you can raise your hand. You know? Feel free to raise your hand. And you know you won't be met with anything bad because it's a loving crowd. And just to put it right out there, right up front, you know, if you look at these passages, you look at the first passage, and you look at it and you go, there's some pretty dire warnings in there, right? And they can sound very stern, to put it mildly. And they're intended to, actually, and they're the truth. But they're actually, again, they're very kind. They're very kind and very, very loving messages. And what these stern messages are like, they're like, you know, if you saw your child sitting in front of an open can of gasoline with matches or a lighter in his or her hand, right? You would get a little excitable, wouldn't you? With your warning, you know, because if you didn't care what happened to that child, you wouldn't say anything, right? You wouldn't be casual about it and go, oh, you know, if you happen to, you might want to put down those matches and, you know, not light it up. Because you'd be afraid. You'd be very protective for his or her life. So you can actually tell by the level of intensity with Jesus' warnings here, that's how intensely he wants to make sure that we comprehend what is at stake here, of how we're supposed to care for those who he loves. Because the way that we treat the least of these, as he says, is exactly the way that we're treating him. And he doesn't want that to slip by. There's a lot at stake with that. And like the gasoline and matches metaphor, I'm going to give you another one. You know, it's like if your child, we go to, you know, as you know, we go to Maine, and there's the farm there, and there's a little pond, and I'm kind of scared to death sometimes when our kids go out skating on that pond. I am scared to death because I just have this vision of one of them slipping through the ice and just seeing their face, you know, underneath the ice. And so, you know, every once in a while we have an uncle who should not be named who goes, oh, it's okay, you know, I'm sure they'll be fine, there's a couple inches, it'll be good. I'm like, I don't think so. You know, if your child is skating on thin ice, and where the icy waters below are deep, you're probably going to freak out, you know, because you really want your child to understand what to do and what not to do, because it's their life, and you're deeply invested in their life. You don't want them to perish that way, even though they think that they're fine. You know, when kids are out, they're going like, oh, it's fine, you know, which is usually you know, some of the last words, right? They say in jeeping, you know, I do jeeping, you know, off-road jeeping and stuff, and they say, you know, kind of the last words are, I think I can do this. Kids go, you know, you worry so much, right? Ah, you don't need to worry about me. So again, that's Christ and that's God. That's their loving relationship with us. And it is fierce love, just like yours. And guidance and fierce protection. So my job as a mouthpiece is to not withhold it from you. When God and Jesus Christ very much want you to know something, I would be a failure if I did not share that with you. And because of that, today, really, I'm not really sharing any personal ideas in this whole thing. I'm just passing it on the Word of God, the will of God, and, you know, whatever people do with that is their business. And that's what Christ would do after he made clear they knew. Because when we look around, you know, we look around us, and I really think that we're all seeing the same thing. And that is that for years, and actually forever, maybe, forever, there are now and there have been, there are so many divisions within humanity, right? So many divisions these days, so much emphasis on how we're divided, on what separates us, you know, about what I think and what do I think about you, what you think and what do you think about what do I think and do I agree with, you know, what he or she thinks and the differences get played up in this machine. And in so doing, we get played in the process. We get stirred up. We get pitted against each other as adversaries all the time. The differences of, you know, of between black and white, between the rich, the 1%, and the 99%. Which group are we in? What are they doing to us? How are they trying to screw up our lives? Differences between men and women, transgender, gay, straight, Democrat, Republican, American, non-American. Who's a real American? Who's more American? Pro-life, pro-choice. Differences between Christians, Muslims, Jews, atheists, agnostic, nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Climate change, no climate change. So right off the bat, one of the things that hits us squarely between the eyes in these passages, because apparently this is the way, this is nothing new. This is the way that it's always been with humanity, Roman, Gentile, Christian, Jew, slave, free, resident, stranger, alien, who belongs, who doesn't belong, rich, poor, who's clean, who's unclean, who's saved, who's not saved. This is the way it's always been. And Christ, being beyond genius, being Savior, being the Word of God, calls us out on that loudly and clearly and in no uncertain terms. He calls us out and he calls us to be one. To be in common union. He calls every one of us to be in common, in communion. And I know, I mean, literally I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know, but but, you know, but I'm not telling you, you know, I mean, we're all in this together. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, right? And there are no gray areas about his words or anything. I mean, you can look and you can see and you can go, is he being, you know, are there shades of this or whatever? And you read the words. And the why he's so clear about the fact that we're all one is because we're created in God's image. We're all created in God's image. That's the first thing right off the bat in Genesis. And that's our common union. I began talking about this a couple weeks ago when, you know, in part one of justice and faith. That's where all justice and ethics comes from, really. We're all created in the image of God, male and female, we are created. And the differences that we get stuck in, Jesus points out, are the ones that are created by humans, not by God. And we think about that. We go, you know, I think you're right. And his point is, so what do we honor? What do we honor in our lives? Do we honor humans? Or do we honor God? And I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Our sacred union. Our human differences. Who creates which? So, you all are really great students. You've all, I'm sure you did very well in all your testing and comprehensive reading, and you know, which, and so you read these, and you're thinking, wait a minute. You're saying that everybody, you know, God creates everybody to be one, but I'm reading this, I'm a very good reader, and I see the part about the sheep and the goats, and God is dividing the sheep and the goats. You're saying it's all one, but there's a division here, right? And how about those two vastly different fates between the two? So you notice that within the whole, within this common union, there are divisions. And you might go, God separates. Common union, but God separates the sheep and the goats. And just as a little aside, you know, you think about the characteristics of each, right? Where Jesus is talking about which is which. And you go, those are divisions. And yet, we take it to the next step and we realize that that's not created by God. Why some people are in one line and why some people are in line B. The divisions are not created by God. They're recognized by God. But the division that was created, what line people are going into to meet their fate, those two lines were created by their own actions against God's desires, against God's incredibly clear will. And specifically, we're told that their actions were, did they unify? Did they honor God? Did they honor the common union that God created? Did they treat each other like that? Or did they cut themselves off from each other, from the other who needed help, and treating them as other? God created unity. People create divisions. And so Jesus is telling us, and he is pounding away with redundancy in the most vivid way that he possibly can, imploring us, would you please be loving? I'm going to tell you this way and that way, and this is what happens if you do, and this is what happens if you don't, and I'm going to tell you this story and that story, and example upon example. It's a powerfully, powerfully loving message. If he didn't care, he wouldn't say any of these things, laying it out as clearly as he can get, because he wants us to get it. Because our eternal life is on the line. He doesn't want us to break through the ice. He doesn't want us to light that match. And you know what? By God, that is incredibly loving. And the funny thing is, I mean, the message is so clear, I don't even have to say anything. It doesn't take an ordained person to read these words and to get it. I mean, any one of you could stand up here and read those directions and get it, what God wants us to do, what it means to be loving in God's eyes. And Jesus wants to make it so abundantly clear that the choice to do otherwise is intentional. So that the actions of those who put themselves in that other line, after instruction and cajoling and imploring and pleading and laying everything out, are doing so consciously. Because the weird thing is, what he's saying is, you can't come back and later claim that you didn't know. You can't come back at some point and go, I didn't really, it wasn't really fully explained, you know, with every nuance. And to further make that point, he even creates the memorable line saying, just to be crystal clear, you know, when he did it to the least of these, good or bad, you did it to me, helping or not, welcoming or not, you do it to me. I want to be very clear here, because the stake is so large. And because he knows human nature so well, you know, he knows us so well that ahead of time, he knows that some people are going to be clever and try to spin it and try to say, I forgot my homework. I didn't know. Did I have to bring gym sneakers to gym? I'm not sure. As people always do. This was written 2,000 years ago. And he knows that even after being given complete clear instructions, explained 50 different ways, bold, double underlined, 36-point, you know, font, highlighter, spotlight, people are going to still try to be clever and to spin, because that's what we do. And they'll say, oh, hey, come on. Come on, Jesus Christ. When did I see you? I didn't know that was you. Not welcome you. Come on, I would have helped you. You're my man. You know? Yeah, we're like this, right? You know, claiming ignorance isn't going to work, he's saying. I'm letting you know this ahead of time because I love you. Don't put that noose around your neck. It will not get you out of that line that you put yourself in. I don't know when I saw you. I didn't know. I don't know. Who is my neighbor? That's another passage. You know, who is my neighbor? You know, Pilate, moments before he put Christ to death, what is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. Pilate goes, oh, really, what is truth? And then puts him to death. It all depends on what is. We've heard that one. People have been doing that forever. The stakes are so high because the stakes have to do with our very soul. So, and I know that I'm being redundant, but Jesus redundantly lays it out so plainly that no one in the end can claim that they didn't know. And for the people who play games with God and try not to know, he's abundantly clear. You don't want to be in that line. I wouldn't want to be in that line. Your kid gets home and he goes, you said to be home by 11, but you didn't say 11 a.m. or p.m. That goes over well. So lays it out, and he says, okay, now it's your turn. That's what he does. Now, in Matthew 7, this is not one of these passages. I should have put it in. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, people who call my name, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but it's the one who does the will of my Father. One who does it, who's in heaven. Very loving to know that. Thank you. Being in communion. Just want to talk for just a moment about communion. Last thing. Because that was that one of the last and final ways that he made his point. Where on the night before, we know on the night before his death, he was in the room with his disciples. He wanted to give a parting message. He wanted to share the essence of himself in some way. He wanted to do it for all time. This is not easy. Imagine if you're in the room and somebody says, okay, here you go. You need to come up with something where it's going to be the essence of yourself. It's going to be for all time, for all people, all cultures, accessible, go. So what he does is he chose something that not just some people could participate in, but that all could share. And so he took the two elements. He took bread and he took wine. Elements that are available to everyone by no coincidence. Two elements that are completely unesoteric, present in every home back at the time, and really today for the most part, for a home of Jews and the home of non-Jews. He didn't take esoteric crystals that you could only get that were blessed by some, you know, person remote, and you have to cross rivers and climb mountains, you know, not rare eucalyptus leaves, you know, that you can only have if you're holy enough or something. Grace, what he's saying, is available to all. He intentionally, interestingly, did not choose an animal sacrifice. And that was the custom. He was Jewish, right? That was the custom, that was temple custom in the time, animal sacrifice. Why didn't he do it? Because depending on what animal you could afford to offer as a sacrifice to God, even that created boundaries, created economic strata of who's able to afford the sheep without blemish and who can just come up with a change to buy maybe a dove or maybe nothing. So he chose common elements of all classes, rich, poor, all the same. Poor people's bread, same as rich people's. And he spoke not esoteric words, not dividing words, spoke unifying, uniting, welcoming, healing, loving, forgiving words, saying once again, this is the way that it is. Here I am, in this bread, in this cup, and where I am, you may be also. Common union in Christ. Very loving, following Jesus, loving who Jesus loves, welcoming who Jesus welcomes, listening through Scripture, to the Word of God, being one with God, one with God's people. This is communion, and this is our faith. So may the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and come alive through your very loving actions. God's love for you. Amen. Our most loving God, on this crisp and quiet and clear morning, when we just take a breath and pause, and when we allow our momentary rushing or stresses, to just pause for a moment and just sit here, surrounded by your love. And in the midst of our very loving congregation, in this safe place, we can see and feel just a little more clearly. We can allow ourselves to feel a little more fully. And we can allow ourselves to let down some of the armor that we put on during the week, that we feel we must put on to deal with some of the craziness in our lives. And we can be for a moment as you desire us to be, just resting in your will and having at least a moment of Sabbath, resting in your comfort, resting in your strength, resting in your healing, resting in your peace, and resting and renewing in your forgiveness and in the peace of your sanctuary, God. May we forgive ourselves as fully and completely and lovingly as you forgive us. And may we forgive others as fully and completely and lovingly as you forgive us. For there is much to offer up to you, God. There is much that we confront in our world that is not in accord with your will. There is much that confronts us on a day-to-day basis in our personal lives, in our work lives, in our parenting, and even in our action that falls astray of your ideal. So help us at this time to let the old fall away. We let it fall away. And we pray to you, God, to come into our lives with your complete love. Come into our minds with your complete love. Come into our hearts with your complete love. Come into our wills with your complete love, and help us to let go of the bad, to let go of that which is angry, hurting, past hurts and fears, to let go of our past ideas of what we cannot do, and in return to give us your Spirit to infuse within us as we receive it your Spirit of courage, your Spirit of strength, your Spirit of justice, your Spirit of hope, your Spirit of, you know, knowing that if you are with us, if you are for us, and if we are with you, who can be against us? If we are with you, clearly and honestly hearing you and following you, how can we possibly go wrong, God? And so, God, equip us as you do for our life, for the decisions and for the tough choices that we make, and for the work that we do. Equip us in the caring that we provide for those that we love, for those that we like, and even for those we do not know or do not like, but who are your children nevertheless. And so equip us to care, to act, to serve, to love with you. And for those who are truly out of our reach, we lift them up to you, God, in your most loving Spirit, in the Spirit of Christ, This we pray. Amen.